Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi gang, it's Monday morning. Welcome to the Ramble on Football Ramble Daily. England lost to the Czechs, Ireland drew in Georgia, and Wales got a vital point against Croatia. Hello, everybody. After the wondrous evening we had at the Shepherd's Bush Empire on Friday, we now come to Monday morning to pick ourselves up once again for some ramble fantasia.
Ramble. Wow, you ran out of steam there at the end,
really
didn't you?
I thought you turned it around, though.
Thank you, Luke. I
ramble fantasia.
He did turn it around, but he sort of smashed a wing mirror off.
Yeah, I've got images of you in like a sort of magician's cloak with a hat on now, sort of casting spells
Mickey
everywhere.
Mickey Mouse ears.
Yeah.
Oh, dearie me. Well, it wasn't a good Friday night for everybody, of course.
No.
Little football team called England lost.
Little England. Little England went absolutely mental.
At the start of the Shepherd's Bush Empire show, Marcus very much wanted to mention England, and we said, don't mention England. And then, I'm so glad we didn't mention England.
Well, it was very annoying, actually, because I wanted to get... obviously, I wanted England to win, and I wanted us to lead the crowd in a chant of easy.
Yeah, that would be great.
Easy.
But we didn't do it. So perhaps if England... Maybe if they beat Bulgaria, I think maybe a little treat for
reconvene,
Sheffield.
Reconvene everyone back in.
I've
booked out Shepherd's Bush Empire again.
Oh, right, okay.
Tonight, so everyone can come back. And the good news is it's only £35 each.
Yeah, well, yeah, you see. So maybe Sheffield on Thursday night might get a little treat. But we'll see. We don't want to promise anything.
We're going to do the housekeeping. Let's do the housekeeping. RambleLive.com. Tickets are still some available for Sheffield, although it is very busy Sheffield. We're in Guildford the night after that at G Live on Friday and High Wycombe at the Swan Theatre on Saturday.
G Live. Yeah. What a great venue title.
I don't want you to go anywhere with that.
No.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
All right. What do you mean?
Yeah, you know where he's going to go with things like that.
I don't know. G Live.
Yeah.
Where am I going to go?
You're making me think about it.
Luke, it's too early in the morning.
Sorry.
Let's calmly drift away.
Where am I going?
Sorry. Step away from that landmine.
Help. Yeah. I'm in a maze of thoughts.
We don't want any of Pete's fantasia, no. Do we?
Fantasia.
Yes, England, they lost to the Czech Republic 2-1, of course. 43 game unbeaten qualification run comes to an end. The first qualification loss in 10 years for the World Cup or the Euros. England were very poor. Southgate said it was a reality check.
Yeah.
No pun intended, Jim.
I think it's a bit weird, isn't it? I've forgotten what this feels like because it's been so long since England like lost and underwhelmed in a qualifier. Well, not underwhelmed, but lost and underwhelmed. But I think it probably, I wouldn't go as far as to say that it is a good thing, but a reality check is definitely needed.
Huge.
Because, you know, the game against the Netherlands in the Nations League wasn't particularly great, and that's been sort of glossed over a little bit. And there's a lot of hype coming back towards England, this idea that we might go quite deep in the tournament, which, you know, we could easily not do. And there's talk of him switching back to a back three, and I think that is probably wise. Personally, because I think a lot of the frailties that we've seen from England and have glossed over because there have been a lot of positives as well, are still there. And I think there's been a lot of changes, and that midfield does not look settled at all. I wonder if he's sort of running out of time to settle on his team.
Well, of course, it has been settled until Friday night when he changed it. I thought it was an arrogant selection from Gareth Southgate. I said on Thursday that they should get qualification done. Mm-hmm. The system they've been playing with, the personnel that he's got, generally speaking, should have been enough to.
Why did you think it was arrogant? Because the players he picked, the back four, there's a lot of caps there. Obviously, the goalkeeper, Rice and Henderson, have played in the midfield. You've got the regular front three. It was only really Mason Mount coming in that was the biggest change.
I think I can make a decent argument for none of those four to start.
With the back four. Right, okay.
Like Michael Keane's playing in a team that aren't doing very well. Mm-hmm. Low on confidence, can't keep clean sheets. Kieran Trippier is not better than Trent Alexander-Arnold. Mm-hmm. Danny Rose looks disinterested, if I'm being honest.
Sure.
Or uninterested.
Yeah.
And Chilwell should have played ahead of him.
Arrogant selection might be a bit strong.
It probably is a bit strong. But okay. I think if you get to a point... do you know what? There's a part of what Jim said that I absolutely agree with, which is that it's not a bad thing to lose a game in this manner.
Yep.
But what we do know about, at this point, what we do know about England, though, is that they can't defend. They're not very good without the ball.
Yep.
And it is, Jim's right about another thing, it's completely glossed over. And the reason it's glossed over is because everyone wants an excuse to be excited about this England team again. I get that. I want that as well. Mm-hmm. But we can't kind of ignore the facts that are in front of our face. The reason I think it was arrogant, if I may use that stronger word, is because you stick with the 4-3-3, it's been working pretty well for you.
Yeah.
You're better than every other team in this group. You go away from home. You treat Czech Republic with a bit of respect because you're away from home and they're a useful side, as they showed, and you get the job done.
Yeah.
After that, you can experiment if you want. I've got doubts about this team purely because they can't defend properly. They're not good enough without the ball. And if they don't play with a tempo, you can't beat anyone anyway. And they didn't play with a tempo on Friday.
I think what I mean by the midfield not being settled is that I don't know that Rice, Henderson, Barkley / another is the right midfield. As we've said many times, I think it'd be good to get Harry Winks in there, especially because he's someone who is a lot better at sort of dictating the tempo from that position. And I feel like that is something that quite badly needs to be looked at and assessed and gelled in if England are going to have that option in the Euros. And yeah, that was my main concern with
PC,
the midfield.
PC was the England formation and personnel selection the most arrogant act an Englishman made on Friday night in Prague?
Well, I think it sounds like Gareth kind of wants to go at that kind of 3-4-3 rather than he played four at the back in that match, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he'll probably have Gomez and Tomori on this match, you'd probably imagine. Because they should have enough to
defeat Bulgaria.
They're not a good side. But yeah, Gareth has always been quite bold in his formation and the way that he's chosen players. So I back him, but I just think it was a...
Nah, it's time to change him.
He's got to go.
How many, just out of interest, Marcus, it's not a trick question or anything, but how many of that back four would you have played in that game?
Wow, I think Maguire's... to be honest, when I looked at that back four, I was fairly happy for it for the game. Michael Keane's not going to be a starter for the big games.
No.
But Keane has played in the 5-1 win away to Montenegro. He scored in that game. After the Kosovo game, he looked a little bit... I think the Kosovo match was actually where England should have thought to themselves, hang on a minute, look, as you mentioned, Jim, the game against the Netherlands in the Nations League, so on and so forth. Southgate clearly wants to play a 4-3-3. I was surprised he played 4-2-3-1.
Same.
But then I suppose that perhaps the reason why he played 4-2-3-1 was because England have a couple of options to play in that sort of number 10 role. And there's been a couple of players, Mason Mount and James Maddison. Luke Moore might have an opinion.
Turns out he wasn't it after all. What an amazing surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carry on.
We had this chat and fair play, mate.
He left his Tom medicine at the casino.
Yeah, he did. Go back and get it.
Yeah, exactly. He thought they were big tablets.
Maybe he'd got better by then.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, there we are.
We've
maybe
all done that.
Yeah, indeed. What was I saying? Yeah, so England, we mentioned a couple of shows or whenever it was about someone like James Maddison or Mason Mount playing that number 10 role. So he probably thought to himself, well, let's play a formation and see to mix it up if we can do that. The problem is Rice and Henderson aren't that equipped to play in that formation. It's a funny one with Henderson because he captained Liverpool to the Champions League, to Champions League glory and so on. But of course, he's playing in a very, very different team
exactly.
Who know their jobs.
Where everyone is an outlet.
Exactly, where everyone is quality, and you've got Van Dijk behind him and so on and so forth. Rice, I think Southgate has put him in there and really wants Rice to be that player who is either one of a two or the pivot in front of the defence. And I just, he's a young man, and I don't want to start saying that's the end of that, but he hasn't really made the step like perhaps England would have wanted him to yet, young man, so that could still happen. But England's problem is they cannot control games.
Yeah.
They were 5-1 up against Kosovo. Now, yeah. I know, I didn't really worry that Kosovo would come back and draw 5-all, but the fact is they lost two goals, and then there was a bit of a little nervy thing, and that's England's problem.
Do you know what I find interesting, and without getting too sort of forensic about tactics, I'm not a tactical expert anyway, but if you do play that 4-2-3-1, to me it feels like, based on the evidence of Friday night, you don't get the best out of Sancho or Sterling doing that. Mm. And then also what you want, presumably, if you've got those two kind of quite sort of basic kind of pivoting players like Henderson and Rice in there, it seems to me that you want a lot of creativity then to come from your fullbacks.
Mm.
But, well, why pick Trippier and Rose then?
Mm.
Why not pick Chilwell, who looks much more interested than Rose, is in a better stage of his career than Rose. Rose isn't going to be a player for England for the next 5 years. We know that. Rose might not even be a player in the next 5 years based on some of the stuff he said. And why not pick Alexander-Arnold, who does that over and over again, up and down against Liverpool, instead of picking Trippier, who I know has been in improved form for Atletico Madrid. That's why I kind of can't get the word arrogant out of my mind. You think, okay, we'll play this back four, we'll keep it nice and solid, and we'll have enough. And they don't have enough.
Maybe complacent.
Maybe, yeah, complacent.
Yeah, sure, yeah. I know what you
Pickford
mean.
Pickford played well, by the way.
Pickford did play well. He was one of the bright sparks, actually, was Pickford. And Kane sort of tried his best in the second half.
Yeah, and that ball from Ross Barkley over to Kane.
Yeah, Barkley came on and
fair play to him.
I mean, I think that one doesn't want to suddenly go, oh, it's all doom and gloom for England and so on. But this is a problem that's been sort of eating away. Now, England, when they went to Montenegro, or they played Bulgaria at home, or even Czech Republic at home, and I think the Czechs are probably a bit better, actually, than people think. They've got 12 points, the same as England. They've played a game extra.
Yeah.
But I think with England, against, say take the game away in Montenegro. I know it was a little while ago now, but Callum Hudson-Odoi started the game. That's how long ago it was. But England went a goal down and looked a bit shaky, but then they just sort of think, hang on, and the opposition just sort of crapped themselves a bit. And we've seen that sometimes when teams come to Wembley and England just sort of bombard them. The problem for England now is what Czech Republic have done there. Now, bigger teams will know this about England, but what the Czechs have done is made slightly smaller teams go, hang on a minute, you can get at this lot.
And I think emotionally, kind of, if you're facing off against an England team and you are a smaller nation...
Yeah.
It's a bit of a team to beat, isn't it? Really, because of, you know, historical arrogance, but also they go really far into tournaments.
Every time a player scores against England, no matter when it is, where it is, they love it. They absolutely love it.
Well, as would be the case against Germany or somebody like that as well.
So form kind of goes out the window. The Bulgarians are going to be playing a level higher than what you'd expect from that team tonight.
It's like when Portsmouth were in League Two,
a little bit like that.
Can I make a really sort of general international football point? Because I think it's something that came to me yesterday, and I'll flow it out and see what you guys think. To me, it feels like in the way international football is these days, obviously you kind of get less and less time with the squad if you're a manager. And so what tends to be really important, I think, is fostering this team spirit and getting people into a position where they want to be there reporting for international duty, which I think we can all agree Southgate's done pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But also what's really important is things like quite boring things like set pieces and finding a system that works for your players and sticking to it. And it might only get you as far as a semi-final as it did in 2018. You know, England have got a good chance of going beyond that next summer because the semi-final and the final are both at Wembley. Settle on a system that works and just play it to the best of your ability. I know that when France won the World Cup last year, they flipped it halfway through this tournament and put Giroud up there and it gave them a focal point and made it better for them. But I think the stage England are in, maybe just find something that works for the personnel you've got and stick to that rather than trying to muck it around and start talking about three at the back and all the rest of it. The 4-3-3, fair enough, they're not that good without the ball. They're not that good defensively. But I feel that's kind of something you can work on within the parameters of the formation that suits the players you've got.
If he plays 3-5-2, you lose one of the attackers. You lose probably Jadon Sancho or... I know Rashford's not in the best form, but you lose something like that. And I think that's why Southgate was keen. We spoke about this after the World Cup. He was keen to go for a 4-3-3, get a more settled side. And I think if Joe Gomez gets some more minutes, he'll probably play tonight against Bulgaria. He is, I do think on his day when he's fit and all the rest of it, is England's best centre half. John Stones, is, I know he's got a bit of a rick or two in him, but you know, so there's a little something there. But England have played 4-3-3 and got good results.
Yes,
we go back to the UEFA Nations League. The one I had a little look back at some of the more impressive England displays where maybe not control. Well, again, so take Switzerland when they didn't score, but they were in control of the game, which is a rare thing for
England. Drew 0-0.
Drew 0-0, won, I think, 6-5 on pens. The game against Spain away, the win at home to Croatia, 2-1. The 0-0 against Croatia away, where England probably should have won the game. You know, these were more impressive performances. The one common denominator in the midfield, Eric Dier.
Yeah, he played.
Really? Eric Dier was in there. Now, I'm not saying there's golden the ticket, everybody.
He hasn't been a golden ticket for a long time.
No, sure. And I'm not even saying, oh, well, surely he should be brought back or something. It's that midfield three. Southgate has tried to play with the pivot, Rice in front of the back four. Mm. England, with the perhaps, hopefully, with the exception of Winks, we need to wait and see, because Winks plays in a slightly different formation for Spurs, and Spurs having a great time, but he's usually got someone like Sissoko right next to him. Mm. If he wants Winks to play there, then he's going to have to give Winks a good old run at it. Winks has had his injury problems. But that pivotal role, England don't really... Maybe with Winks. Other than that, they don't really have that type of player. So what I'm saying is, you don't maybe bring Eric Dier back, but you have like a flat three, a very functional sort of flat three maybe in the centre, or you have someone who just sits and two runners. And I know Henderson's not great at that position. Maybe you don't ask him. I don't know. But the midfield three for England, if you can't control games, then hit teams on the counter and look solid. Yeah. And all the rest of it.
And trust Sterling, Sancho and Kane to do stuff, because
exactly.
They can do stuff.
Yeah.
And can I just throw further weight behind your point that it's not Eric Dier? but broadly speaking, I think I agree with that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we
10
are.
10 years, guys. I mean, it's not bad, is it?
Well, yeah,
the other thing we've got to kind of hope that Southgate guards against, I mean, you mentioned that Switzerland game. Mm. The midfield that day, I think he played Barkley, I think he played Sancho very deep, and he played Dier. Mm. You've got to get into a situation where you know what your team is. And we say this over and over again on this show and other shows or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are many, many players from down the years who haven't got the international caps they perhaps should have done because other players were better than them in that position. That's life, right? Mm. That's just how life is, right? It's one of those things. I don't want Southgate to get into a position where he's just trying everyone over and over again all the time. Mm-hmm. If it gets to the point where you think, I can't play Rice and Winks because of this reason and the formation, fine, pick one. Pick one and stick with it and play him in form and don't try and shoehorn him in somewhere else.
So what would you say then? So say it's, you get some players, Pickford would be perhaps one, who seems to play a little bit better for his country than club.
I think the goalkeeping position is slightly different.
Sure, but I'm merely saying that some players, it's quite rare, but you get the odd player who turns up for his country. Now, maybe someone like Eric Dier is a little bit like that. Mm. Again, I don't want to go about Eric Dier, he just can't get in the Spurs side. Mm. But Southgate's meritocracy that he speaks about, I understand that, and we've spoken about
that. I don't
care
how
sometimes you can get into a little bit of difficulty, because actually if you're picking players who are on form, but then you think, oh, but I'm leaving out this person who aren't playing that much, but I know whenever they turn up.
Sure, that's his job. You're the manager, that's your job. Whoever you pick is up to you. Mm. Now, we can sit around this table and say, we don't agree with that because of this, this and this, but that's his job. And obviously, ultimately, he'll live and die by his results. Mm-hmm. I'm not guarding against that. I think that's fine. If he thinks that, you know, remember when he picked Jake Livermore in the squad and everyone's going, why are you doing that? And he said, well, I know what Jake brings. He's great for the group. And everyone sort of kind of accepted that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the thin end of the wedge is to shoehorn these players in, and the thick end of the wedge is you end up playing players out on the left wing like we did for years. You don't belong out there. And so I'd like to guard against that. But ultimately, I do trust Southgate to do a job. I mean, you know, when they played with that, briefly they played with a two in front of four and it was Henderson and Dier. And it was so slow and so ponderous. You can't do that. Now you know you can't do that. Learn from that. Don't go back to that with Rice and Henderson in there. But I'm not saying it was their fault particularly. But England didn't play with a tempo. And at international football, international level, you've got to play with a tempo, because you've got to give a team like Czech Republic, who are decent enough, even in their own backyard, you've got to give them something to think about.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, you're not going to win games.
A little word for the Czechs, though. What a story for the man who was 30-year-old Ondrasek, is his name, who scored the winning goal.
It's a weird first name.
It was his debut, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and he'd flown in from America.
Yeah, FC Dallas.
Yeah, and I think he'd like skied a free kick before the game or something. They were all slapping his head.
That's right,
like, laughing at him.
He's got a good record in MLS this year. He got 7 goals or something this season. Yeah. 8 games or something. Yeah.
Not bad. I mean, when an England fan can sort of remove oneself from the situation, that's great stuff.
Great story. There's a lot of pressure on the game tonight as well, by the way, because of all the stuff that's come out from the Bulgarian coach saying that it feels like England has a bigger problem with racism than Bulgaria does. So this has now become a bit of a hot issue there. So
I mean, he's going to say that. He's going to fight his corner. You expect that from the coach. He wants his team to be prepared and he doesn't want them thinking about anything else. I that to me was a bit of a kind of knee-jerk reaction.
Of course.
No one's suggesting that England haven't got problems, because of course they have. But that was a fanciful thing to say the least. Mm. I think he's just trying to head it off.
But I think that's going to make for a very hostile atmosphere in the ground for England, which is maybe something they could do without as well.
This happened before the last match as well. I mean, that's all the conversations were about. We're going to walk off this and that.
Yeah, we might see something dramatic. I mean, I hope we don't. Yeah, we might see something dramatic tonight.
All right then, ladies and gentlemen, let's go for a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble on Football Ramble Daily, everybody. Luke Moore, you've already mentioned it. Let's have another go on ramblelive.com.
Yeah, get your tickets now. Those dates are rapidly running out, both in the UK and the US and Canada. Thursday night, Sheffield. Friday night, Guildford. Saturday night, High Wycombe. We're going further afield next week as well.
Ooh.
And the week after.
So
check it out, ramblelive.com. I should also jump in with a Betway for to score update. It was a no.
Yeah.
Again.
Although
no.
I picked Pjanic. He got two, but he didn't get the first one.
Yeah.
You had Insigne, but I think Jorginho scored first.
We definitely didn't win.
Pete, I think, did you have King?
He did, but he scored.
Yeah, he scored, but he equalised very late on.
A nerveless penalty against Spain. After the Norwegian player, I can't remember if it's in the running order or not, probably not. The Norwegian player got absolutely totaled by Kepa in Spain. Did you see that?
Yeah.
He was brave as a lion.
Sergio Ramos-esque.
It was. So that was a no, but do go to betway.com/4 to score. That's the number 4 to score. We'll be picking 4 first goal scorers from the selected games on the preview show this week. It's free to play. You can win up to £150,000 or perhaps even more now. I'm not sure. I have to check.
Blimey.
But betway.com/4 to score. Free to play. Gamble responsibly.
Apologies accepted.
I had Christian Eriksen for Denmark.
That's right.
I reasoned that he had the highest number of goals in the squad. The next one was Yusuf Poulsen with 6, and Yusuf Poulsen now has 7.
Yeah, exactly.
He scored the only goal of the game.
Was that the game with the amazing reverse through ball by Christian Eriksen?
Yes,
it was a beauty. Yeah. It was a beauty. Yeah.
So he got an assist.
Mm. I think it's a really fun game to play every week.
It's nice to see Spurs players playing well inside, isn't it? Really.
And so far, Christian Eriksen hasn't given a problematic interview to the Danish press, which is really annoying.
That is a bit annoying, but there's still time.
Yeah, there is.
There's still time, and now it's time for emails with PTD.
FootballRambleDaily.com, and now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
I really don't like the way I throw myself into that.
I think it makes it. It's very diaphragmic.
Mm. You're quite a burpy man. So.
Yeah. I'm quite a burpy
man. You are quite windy pops, aren't you?
Yeah. I am, full of it.
Official windy.
I had some lovely chicken wings last night with licorice glaze.
And?
Ooh. Come on.
Does it work?
Yes, it does.
Even if you don't like licorice?
Well, clearly not.
Official windy pops of the Windy Pops Donaldson.
Yes.
What if you like licorice but not chicken?
Big old gas bag I am. Hello to James Scott. Hi, Ramblers, on the topic of same name footballers. I'm enjoying this thread, quite frankly. In Scotland, We've had two occurrences this season of players scoring goals past a keeper with the same name as them. Ross Stewart of Ross County scored against Livingston, whose keeper that day was also called Ross Stewart.
And Ross County as well.
Then in September, Jack Hamilton of Queen of the South scored into scored past a Dundee goalkeeper whose name was also Jack Hamilton. Scottish football is mad, says James.
The scene is really very typically Scottish.
Jez says, now that players have to leave the pitch when being substituted at the nearest point and therefore sometimes have to walk past their own goal, what's to stop said player diving across the goal to save a shot being scored? Well, the ball's not in play, is it, Jez? You mad bugger.
Jez from Peep Show.
There's talk of that rule about having to go off at the nearest touchline. There's talk of that's already being changed.
Why?
Because players just get an absolute pelters
wherever they go off the pitch,
which is why it was changed in the
first
place.
We said that was going to happen, though.
By the way, did you see that Dave Hill of Beath Hawthorn scored for Hill of Beath Hawthorn the other day?
Yeah, very good. For a minute,
there was a second, wasn't there?
My eyes lit up.
Yeah.
A little twinkle. Ned, nothing interesting from me, I'm afraid. I'm just fact-checking Luke's rant about Delph.
That's amazing.
Was it a rant?
He's opened the email with that.
Yeah.
He's still made it in.
He's indeed played 5 out of 8 league games, but they've been the last 5 games, and he's played every minute of each of them, as well as starting both League Cup games in this stretch. So he's not exactly in and out of the side. If Luke wants to call Gareth out for his continuing selection of players who aren't starting for their clubs, I'd suggest Joe Gomez as a far fairer target.
We didn't play. I will, however,
take the point that Everton are playing like shit at the moment.
I love it. Pete sees an email which starts with nothing interesting from
me. That's the one for me. Yeah. That's exactly what I want.
Yeah. Damian Cook also was a steward's inquiry into this week's going for gold. I was about to say the answer. I'd already started saying the name of Ed before you stopped to give others a chance to guess. This clearly gave Luke the edge. I think Luke already had it, and I don't think I was saying the name of the player.
No.
I think I was saying, Ed, let's finish the show.
Well,
Ed, let's finish the game.
Pete is not one to be charitable in going for gloves.
And finally for now, Luke Jackson, you mentioned Waz's five-side exploits. Reminded me of a chat I had with a colleague. He plays in the same league as William, and one day they were scheduled to play against the Royal United.
William, you're talking about.
They heard late on, I'm fairly certain people could figure that out from the clues, but they heard late on that their opponents might not be able to get a team together and they would thus forfeit the game, but that William was on the case. They turn up ready to claim the automatic victory and maybe have a friendly anyway. Then who should turn up with William? But the play he sourced in told none other than David Beckham. They got hammered. Couldn't get within 5 metres of him.
That's brilliant.
And would it count as treason to put a reducer in on the Prince Regent? You just don't know.
Did he refer to William as Wazza?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wazza!
I like that. Well, actually, I heard that someone who played for his team was like, well, what do you call him? Hmm. Do you call him Prince? You call him William? But apparently, from what the observations were...
Windsor.
You know that
Windsor really?
Yeah.
Windsor.
Is it really?
Windsor. Give us a ball, Windsor.
When Prince Harry was in, I think he was in the armed forces and he served overseas, and I think soldiers have their surnames on their jackets.
Right.
And I think I'm pretty sure his just said Wales.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Harry?
As in Prince of Wales. Yeah, it just said Wales.
Oh, right.
Okay. Nice.
Okay. Or was it William? Maybe it was William. I'm sure it just said Wales.
Wheels.
Yeah. On the Dell thing, I should probably just say that's absolutely spot on. I mean, I got confused there, I think. I think Everton have changed their midfield around quite a bit, but recently Delph hasn't been one of those. I think he's kind of confused as to who He plays with him.
But also, I mean, you can play every game and well, in an underwhelming,
yeah.
underwhelming side.
I think you need to respect Fabby D a bit more.
I do like him. He seems like a lovely chap. And I respect what he brings to the game.
Right.
For sure.
Excellent.
If you'd like to get us the show, it's shortfootballramble.com.
I think is it only Newcastle, United and Watford who've scored fewer goals than Everton this season?
Yeah, we'll do that.
In the league.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Let's go to Group D, talking about lack of goal scoring. Georgia drew 1-1 with Ireland. Not a bad point for Ireland. They remain unbeaten in the group. They'd have preferred a win, of course. It's one of those ones, isn't it, where they're playing away. It's a tricky game. Georgia are no mugs, and Ireland, we spoke about their lack of goal scoring. Not lose is the is always the priority.
They could have massively done with a draw between Denmark and Switzerland.
Yeah, they could have done.
And Kasper Schmeichel played brilliantly.
Oh my God, he made four absolutely top-class saves in that game.
Yeah, but he was quality.
But Yusuf Poulsen... I think at first glance, Group D, it looks okay for Ireland because they are top of the group. Mm-hmm. But when you dig down a little bit further, perhaps bring your magnifying glass out and go, oh, what's that in the goals four column? Oh, only six. Who have they got left to play? Denmark at home, Switzerland away.
Possibly could have put a few away before this point.
Yeah, you could look at it two ways. You can go, well, that's going to be tough and they're probably going to miss out. Or you can say, well, it's in their own hands.
Yeah.
I mean, if they go away and get a draw against Switzerland and then win at home against Denmark, pretty sure they're in business. So.
Yeah, I mean, they take a point, obviously, away to Denmark.
On the other hand, they simply do not score.
David McGoldrick's out.
Yeah, but Aaron Connolly's in.
He had a chance late on. He was unlucky. He hit the side netting, but he looked very lively in the little cameo that he made. It was, I watched the second half of the game, and it was dour.
Appreciate you doing that for us, Jim.
they've got a Luton Town footballer up top.
Yeah. Why has he not started Aaron Connolly there?
Perhaps it's just because he's so young. I'm surprised by that as well, given the showing that he had at the prior weekend. But I guess he knows his squad better than we do.
You're questioning Mick McCarthy now. Big Mick
is in that exclusive, very exclusive list of managers where he's more entertaining off the pitch than his teams are on it.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. Gordon Strachan,
Warnock,
Gordon Strachan.
Yeah,
Warnock.
Just old British managers.
Yeah.
Well, Mick McCarthy, Irish, you could say.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
But this is a situation with Ireland and Group D.
Yeah.
It really does depend on which way you want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
You could say, look, before the campaign started, would they be taking top of the group and have it all in their own hands at that point?
Absolutely.
They probably would, but it's a big ask for them now.
Especially that there's two really tough games coming up.
Denmark, didn't they get absolutely destroyed by Denmark in the playoff?
I think they did.
Last time around.
3-4
Yeah.
I think it was about 5-1. Yeah. But they've drawn with Denmark since then. You know, they went away to Denmark and drew. They drew at home to Switzerland. And as I say, the encouraging...
Did Denmark have that mad situation where none of their players were playing though?
No, that was a different one.
Was that a different game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it was. They had a bit, admittedly, they had a little bit of a funny time. But in both of those games, Ireland went 1-0 down there and they came back to draw 1-1. So perhaps when their backs are to the walls, then we shall see.
I mean, when you're knocking three in total in two games past Gibraltar, the world's your oyster, you know?
Yeah, but they are top of their group with 12 points, much like England.
Yep.
So, you can't be too dismissive of them.
No.
Miko McCarthy has a plan, though.
Oh, he does. Big time. What that is anyone's guess. But I'm fairly sure he's got one.
I really want to see them there. It's always nice.
I would love to see them there.
No,
100%.
But I'd love to see them even more so because Big Mick.
Yeah.
It'd be great. McCarthy was the man to get them back to a tournament. Glorious. When I say get them back to a tournament, it was recently qualified. But they don't always qualify. You understand what I mean. Let's go to Group E. Wales drew 1-1 with Croatia. I'd say that's a decent point, really.
Definitely.
I mean, Croatia are a better side than Wales.
I enjoyed it. They worked really, 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 really hard.
Yes. The crowd were amazing as well. You could really feel the crowd like G-ing the team up.
Well,
whenever
they bust out, second half when they busted out the national anthem, I was like, they've got to do something now. And they went quite close. I was like, oh, come on. It took a little bit longer.
Oh, come on. Yeah, Gareth Bale, lovely bit of class.
Oh, just brilliant.
Doesn't it help having a world-class player in there?
Yeah, but
that goal, didn't he?
It really, really shows in this sort of situation, doesn't it? When you've got one player who's just streets ahead of everybody else in with respect to Wales, a team that, you know, aren't traditionally competing for many things. But yeah, I mean, to start that move, win the ball back when it started to break down, lay it off and then collect the pass to slot it in at the far post. It's perfect. It's just absolutely brilliant. And he was just, you know, he was absolutely just blowing out of his anus by the end of it.
But it was a bit of a fight at times, wasn't it? Croatia, a bit physical. Streetwise,
they were.
Ron
I thought Croatia were a bit disappointing. Actually, they had chances and they controlled the game in the midfield for large portions of it, but. I don't know. I think you'd expect a little bit more from them going forward.
I enjoyed the shit Joel and Modric shouted at one
point. What was that?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Shit
you're a shit.
Oh, Joel. I see. Sorry. Yeah.
But I think, you know, with Croatia, is it fair to say that their kind of summit was last summer?
They're not as
good
as that side.
They're a bit of an aging side. Yeah. They're a bit of an aging team, aren't they? As far as Wales are concerned, again, it's a similar situation. To Ireland, although they're not in as good a position, they've got Croatia, they've played Croatia and not been beaten, but they didn't win the game, and they had themselves in a position where, unfortunately, they probably needed to win. I mean, I was on the radio yesterday, and the guy who was at the ground at the game, Lawrence Mora, who's a Welsh football reporter of many years standing, was saying, look, we really need to win this game, and they weren't able to do that. Mm. They play Hungary, don't they, as well, still to come. And they're away to Azerbaijan. You think, okay, well, they'll probably beat Azerbaijan away. They only just beat them at home.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I mean, Azerbaijan are bottom of the group with 1 point, and I understand Wales, it took a late winner.
Mm.
I think Wales, if they get the two wins, so they should beat Azerbaijan. So let's say they do that, okay?
Hungary have been fairly decent, Marcus, haven't they?
They have been fairly decent, if you were to set up a game to, again, I'm assuming a lot here, I appreciate that. So let's say that they go to Azerbaijan and win, which they should. Azerbaijan have 1 point from six games, doesn't bode very well for Azerbaijan. Croatia host Slovakia.
Mm.
Now, Wales need Croatia to beat Slovakia. Croatia are not, I don't think they've qualified just yet. Mm. So Croatia need to get a result there.
Yeah.
So again, those two results you would expect, I understand, doesn't always play out like that.
Yeah.
But let's just say that. If Wales then have a home game against Hungary in which they need to win to qualify,
they'd take that situation.
They'd take it.
Mm. It's a big miss, Aaron Ramsey, though. Like, you watch that sign, you're like, they're screaming out for him.
Yeah,
but they have to. So they have to beat Azerbaijan the first game of the next break, and then hope the results go their way, and then beat Hungary, and they're in business.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not as bad as one might think.
One of the things,
not in their hands. Also.
That's why the point against Croatia was crucial.
And they've got. And let's be fair. It's been a fairly tough group for them.
It has been.
If you look at the group that, for example, Scotland are in.
Mm.
I mean, Scotland, Cyprus, Kazakhstan, San Marino, all in the same group. That's a slightly different story. That's a digression. I understand. I'm curious about.
Wales also have Ryan Giggs in charge. Don't forget that.
Yeah, true.
It handicaps them somewhat.
This is what I was going to say, because one of the things you do have to do if you're a mid to poor international side. There's no disrespect to Wales, but their record would suggest they don't qualify for tournaments very often. They're a fairly poor international team.
Euro 2016, as glorious as it was in the grand scheme of things, and I'm just
it was an anomaly.
It was an anomaly statistically looking.
So you have to become like almost a greater than some of your parts. And I think Chris Coleman was excellent in making them that, with a handful of players, they star quality they had. But what he did with Gareth Bale is he almost played him up front and played him like a free role.
Yeah.
Now what Giggs did against Croatia last night, he just played him on the right coming in, but he had quite a lot of roles and responsibilities there.
Yeah.
No, okay, fine. You could argue it worked because he scored a goal.
Bale has been played like that before for Wales, though.
Yeah. I just wonder if that's the best use of his talents at this stage of his career.
Yeah, but against Croatia, to have a player playing in a free role, it's a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
Ryan Giggs said that Daniel James was doing a bit of acting when it looked like James was knocked unconscious.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw that. And James said he hadn't been knocked out. I mean, I suppose you sort of take the player's word for it, but it did look a bit weird. And it's a bit of a strange thing for Giggs to say.
Yeah, it is. Well, I think that it did look like it was going to come off, and we're all very aware of the new rules about concussion. Yeah, I think it kind of makes sense, doesn't it? It is weird to sort of throw him under the bus a little bit like that, but at the same time, it did need an explanation.
Yeah, I suppose.
I don't think it does make sense, purely because he passed the concussion protocol, but as we know, 30-odd% of concussions are delayed.
Yeah.
So he could find himself concussed. I mean, it happened in the summer in the cricket. Steve Smith got hit with a ball, passed concussion protocol, played on. The next day, he couldn't play. And he, in fact, had to miss 2 weeks because of it.
That's right.
It can be delayed. So you might find, Man United fans won't be very happy to hear it, if it breaks later on today, of course, you might find that he has, in fact, failed a later concussion protocol and then has to sit out.
Mm. The concussion protocol.
But do you not think it was like a... I understand gigs sticking up for the player and sort of bailing them out, Jim, as you say, but you know, it's quite a weird way of putting it.
Yeah, I do.
You don't have to say that.
Absolutely. You can just bat that away by saying nothing, effectively.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it, you know, it's a serious head injury. It's a serious
thing.
Take
it seriously.
Yeah.
But he passed the protocol.
Yeah, yeah,
he did a bit of a knock. He was just sort of lying there. He was just gathering his thoughts or whatever.
Literally gathering his thoughts.
He was just acting. Don't worry about it, guys. Yeah. Let's move on to very briefly to Group H. Andorra made history by winning their first ever Euro qualifier, beating Moldova.
I love this.
Little stories in there.
Yeah. They're basically a ski resort, aren't they, Andorra? Yeah. As has been said many times about them.
I find it really, really interesting, and I'll tell you why. It's a couple of reasons. One, there's talk that a few of the senior pros in Moldova have been a bit upset and have said they don't want to play for Moldova anymore, and I don't think they played. I'm not sure. My Moldovan football knowledge is absolutely appalling.
Bloody hell, what are you doing on this show?
But I think a few of them might have sat it out. So that's one point. The second point is, if you want, you can make a decent argument, actually, that this means the Nations League works. If you look at Andorra's record in the Nations League, I think they picked up 4 draws in the Nations League because they were playing teams roughly commensurate with their level. And have they used that experience to go in there and win a game? It's a fantastic story for them. It's great they have. I mean, one thing I would say, though, is that it's not really worked for San Marino, who haven't scored a single goal through the Nations League or through the Euro qualifiers. Yeah, and so maybe they're beyond saving.
The organisation has only existed since 1994, so it kind of started watching football as I started watching football. Fell in love with Roberto Baggio and all that.
Andorra, you are Andorra.
I am Andorra. Yeah.
Well, Andorra and Moldova, their flags are very, very similar. So maybe Moldova actually won, but they just...
Andorra, I think, is twice the size of San Marino.
The most serene Republic of San Marino.
The most serene Republic.
I believe they're the lowest ranked team on earth, aren't they?
Who?
San Marino.
Oh, I wouldn't be surprised.
They've been whipping boys for a long time.
I mean, it's
I think that might be the case.
I'll check. You guys carry on. Okay. I'll check.
Let's move on to San Marino, Jim.
I think the thing with San Marino, like, you know, they have been a sort of punchline for a long time. We all remember the 7-1 where England beat them, and they scored the quickest goal ever, or whatever it was. And, can you imagine what it's like to play for San Marino? Because it's surely an honour to play for your country, however small that country is. But knowing that you're going to get whipped in pretty much every game you play.
They are bottom of the rankings, Jim.
Yeah, well, you can...
210 out of 200.
Who's above them?
Anguilla, Bahamas, Eritrea, Turks and Caicos, Tonga, Pakistan, British Virgin Islands, Sri Lanka,
Scotland,
and then the US Virgin Islands.
Their teams that they're playing are going to be a lot worse than the teams that San Marino are playing, surely.
If you wouldn't mind using the full rankings name, it's the FIFA Coca-Cola World Ranking.
Oh, is it really?
If you don't mind.
Nice.
You were saying San Marino's get whooped all the time. Yeah. But that's what the Nations League was almost partly designed for, right?
Yeah. But someone has to be worse, though, don't they? Someone has to be absolute rock bottom. And like you can see, even when they went about 2-0 down against Scotland, you could see those players, like they're just slumped, just like, oh God, this again. Yeah. Getting humiliated on telly again.
Mm. Oh, the Scottish.
In the rain.
They got beat 6-0 by Scotland in Group A. John McGinn with a hat-trick. But Scotland lost 4-0 to Russia.
That was a limp display as well. Russia scored some really good goals, to be fair.
Yeah, but they can qualify automatically.
But they've got that Nations League playoff spot.
Yes.
I'm fairly certain they're going to throw away.
Yes. It was the worst thing that could have happened to them.
It was Scotland's biggest win for ages. John McGinn got a hat-trick, as you said. And that's a good thing. You know, it's encouraging, it's exciting.
It is.
There wasn't many people there, were there?
Mm.
In the pissing rain on Sunday night.
I think there was a little more than what they thought.
10,000-ish?
Yeah, Hampden. They probably thought... Was that what it was?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I mean, to be fair, Sunday night, as you say, pissing rain against San Marino. It's amazing that they got probably 10,000.
I mean, I'd like to put this all in perspective that Christian Benteke actually scored against San Marino. So
There you go.
Anyway, that's pleasing to hear. I'm glad he's still getting the nod.
Oh, by the way, that was a 9-0 win, wasn't it, for Belgium? Did you see the Hazard assist for Meunier for Belgium against, was it Kazakhstan? Did you see it? It was
an absolute beauty. Oh, yeah.
It was a beauty. We haven't seen enough of that this season.
Yeah.
What did you guys, speaking of San Marino, before we move on entirely from that, did you see what the goalkeeper did?
No. What did the goalkeeper do?
So, this is during the Scotland game. Now, it's admittedly, not as funny as I initially thought it was, because I thought he just did it, but it turns out I think he thought he heard a whistle. He's about a couple of yards out of his area in that little circle thing outside the goalkeeper's big box, as Graham Sinnes would call it. And the ball comes to him, there's no one around him. He just flicks it up and catches it and then rolls it out again. Have they got to the point now where the goalkeeper doesn't even know what he can and can't do? And obviously they Scotland immediately got awarded the free kick.
Heard a whistle.
I'll show you it here. I've got it on here. There you go.
Just in case not, you haven't seen it.
There you go.
There
pick
it is,
up.
Yeah. Roll
it
out again. Strange, yeah.
Roll it out again.
And that seat. Is that yellow?
Should be.
Should be, shouldn't it? Yeah. That's just willful
come here, come here, come here, come here,
yellow. Would he give a yellow or would he show a bit of compassion?
Rules are rules, brother. Yeah.
Rules are rules, baby.
Laws are laws, brother.
Rules don't have emotions, don't they?
That's the problem with them.
Did you see that Harry's been talking about Liverpool this week? Harry Redknapp. If I had one club I'd love to have managed, it would have been Liverpool. I love them.
Harry, come on, mate.
The
it doesn't work anymore.
The one that got away, baby.
He used to do this when the press were obviously all on his side, but don't choose the European champions.
Yeah, you ain't getting that job, mate.
And the interview was conducted in his house.
Yeah.
And he was sat in the armchair, and right. Still in shot was the sofa,
right.
And he had two goalkeepers on the sofa.
Blimey. He fancies them for the title, though, doesn't he?
Yeah, he said he's put a bet on.
Yeah, I've had a big bet. Did he say, I can see them winning the league, give them the title and give it to them now?
Yeah, it's not how it works.
No.
You of all people should know that, Harry. Yeah. That's not how it works.
Yeah, you silly sod.
See, Peter Cech made his ice hockey goaltending debut.
Yeah. For Guildford.
Saved two penalties.
Yeah, he did save two penalties. Got a man of the match award as well.
That's brilliant. He is massive, and those goals are quite small.
Yeah, he is massive. But apparently he's actually third choice goalkeeper. You've got to be annoyed if you're the first choice goaltender.
Look,
sorry.
You be a PR story, and we'll get you in there. Yeah. All right, Sunshine?
This is a story that, obviously, my in-laws are American. This is a story that crossed over to such an extent that my father-in-law texted me about it.
Oh, wow.
So it's obviously making big news. Even though the Guildford Phoenix are aren't they like a second or third tier team,
fourth.
Even in England.
But apparently, Petr Cech has always loved ice hockey. And I think he played when he was younger as well. And he made them his team as soon as he moved to England. So he has actually been following Guildford Phoenix the whole time.
Even in the NHL, obviously, it's a big discipline being a goalkeeper. It's obviously harder than you think, although the goals are smaller.
Yeah.
But those things are flying at you really quickly.
And you're on
ridiculous.
Ice.
And you're on ice. I remember reading a story about a guy who is employed just to turn up at the stadium, sit, sink beers, watch the match, but he's actually technically able to be called up at any moment. So there was a situation where I think three goalkeepers went down. One was ill before the match. One went down in training, I think, and one went down during the match. So this guy was called, who's just on standby, sinking beers.
Yeah. Finish your drink.
He's got a bit of a college record. He came down and played the last, I don't know, 20 minutes. Saved a couple of shots.
Oh, did he?
And he became a bit of an NHL legend. I love stuff like that.
That's quite good, that.
The fourth choice bloke who's just sinking beers.
Yeah. Yeah. But I find it funny, though, because you say he's third choice, yet he puts in a man of the match display.
Yeah.
I've seen, my ice hockey knowledge is clearly very, very poor. I don't know whether they've changed their name, people down that part of the world, whatever. So, but it used to be Guildford Flames. Maybe there is a Guildford Flames and a Guildford Phoenix. Right. I don't know. Although maybe the Phoenix, of course, rose from the Flames.
I think that the Phoenix is their developmental club. I think they're part of the same organisation.
Oh, they are.
Yeah.
How do you know that? You read it in the article.
We'll find out in our fact-finding mission this week.
Friday night in Guildford. This is all very convenient.
Yeah, exactly. And Figo might be there. There's a famous photo of a guy called Terry Shawchuk, who was a goalkeeper for a hockey team before they had masks. Because they didn't always wear masks. And his face, there's a photo of his face. And I think it has been sort of enhanced just to exaggerate where his scars are and stuff. But it's absolutely brutal, like what he used to put himself through.
Oh, wow.
He looks like he's had about five surgeries across his face. They never even used to wear masks. I mean, and the ball, as you said, the puck comes at them so fast. It's actually quite hard to follow it when you're watching it.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
I've been to a couple of hockey games. It's very, very strange.
I do like that there's that little section behind the goal that the players
whiz
can skate around. I would like to see that in football.
Would you?
I'd like that in some sort of experimental pre-season match or the Carabao Cup. And I will never stop playing that drum.
Jim, of course, at the London Stadium, it's very conducive, but most other grounds, it's not possible.
When you have a kick around with your pals back in the day in the park or whatever, and if the ball went kind of behind the goal back there, you'd go, play on, because exactly. You don't want to stop it every 5 minutes.
I mean, it'd be honest, interesting.
With the new offside rules, it can't be far away. Oh, yeah, because of VAR, we need that space behind the goal.
Yeah. But it'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah, it slips behind, but you just square it across to a mate, start again.
I think it's so ridiculous, even Pete's saying, come on, think about this.
No, he's not.
I've seen like Leo Messi kick a ball from behind the
corner flag.
Behind the corner flag.
It's not a game, though, is it?
All right, let's not be whimsical.
Let's leave the whimsy here, okay. Because Rai Vita Boy wants us to taste nothing.
All right. Well, once the whimsy's gone,
it's an international weekend. No fun allowed.
Once the whimsy's gone, the show must stop.
Exactly,
ladies and gentlemen. Exactly. It's been a pleasure. Whimsy. Thanks very much. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Can I just say that all that section's on here just for Pete to prepare his button anyway?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Bye bye, everyone.
Thank you, Jim Campbell.
Bye.
See you soon, listeners.
I started late because we talk right through it, and then by the time it gets to this point, it's too late and the lady starts talking.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Bye, lady.
Park off.
Marcus.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Listen to this Acast show ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.